Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
We are in a series called Navigating Uncertainty, and that while life has definitely been uncertain in recent weeks and months, but aren't you glad that we have a certain God in the middle of uncertainty? Amen? You know, and I want to talk to you about this morning. We're the part of the series we're in today is talking about how can we connect to God in the middle of uncertainty. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that life doesn't have to calm down for me to connect to God. Amen. I'm glad I don't have to wait for the seas to calm or the storms to be over or for my life to be perfect to have an encounter with God. I'm thankful in the middle of uncertainty, I can connect with God. How about you this morning? I'm glad for that today. I'm thankful that we can connect to Him in every season. And I don't know if I may just turn in my man card right now. Okay? Because I'm going to confess something to you. One of my favorite shows to watch on television is this show starring Chip and Joanna Gaines. Does anyone else watch that show? I love watching that show because what I love about it is they take these homes that, in my opinion, should be just bulldozed down and a new one built in its place, and they restore it. They make something beautiful out of what I would call nothing. I tell you what, some of you would say that's what God's done in my life. He's made something beautiful out of nothing. And can I tell you this morning, if that's not your story, God wants that to be your story today. He wants to make something beautiful out of nothing. You can connect to God when you understand that He can do that. See, our text for this part of the series is very familiar, Psalms chapter 23. I ask you to say this with me out loud last week, and I'm going to ask you to do it again. So your mark, get set. Let's read this together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to ask you to look at verse number 3. These four words is all we're talking about tonight. Wow, what a free pass. When you go to work tomorrow, someone asks you, what did you learn over the weekend? What do you talk about at church on Sunday? You got a four-word answer. Here it is. Or your mark, let's say it together. He restores my soul. Amen? He restores my soul. Let's pray with that this morning. Father, we love You. We thank You that we can connect with You despite any uncertainty in life. And that when life is draining, You restore my soul. When my life is filled with hurt, maybe even hurt that I caused myself, You restore my soul. When I feel like I don't have the strength to carry on or face today or tomorrow, You restore my soul. When I feel like I've lost more than I could ever count, You restore my soul. God, I'm thankful that when I look ahead, I don't see anything at all. You restore my soul. See, God, I pray this morning for every person watching online and those sitting in the room today that You today together, You would restore our souls in You, that You would help us connect in whatever we're going through with You, because You are the life restorer, the soul restorer. So God, help me to teach and preach this word this morning. Help us to hear what You want us to hear, and we'll give You thanks for it. Everybody said amen. So David is a psalmist who's accredited to writing Psalms chapter 23, the song. David's life teaches us that you can connect with God no matter what season you're in. If you want to go back and do a life study of David, you'll find he's connecting with God as a boy tending sheep. He's connecting with God as a little bit older boy facing a giant. He's connecting with God when Saul's trying to kill him. He's connecting with God when he's having to live out in a cave. He's connecting with God when he's having to pretend to be a madman in a foreign land. He's connecting with God when he's in the the palace and he's finally reigning as king. David is a great example. No matter what season of life we're in, you can connect with God. And let me just bring that truth home this morning. No matter what season of life you're in today, you can connect with God. He is here to restore your soul. I like the fact that the psalmist says, He restores. Say that word with me, restores. Let me ask you, is that past tense or present tense? He restores my soul. Right? Not that he did restore, which I'm thankful. Not that he's going to restore, which that's hopeful. But he restores. He right now, present day, middle of my situation, he restores my soul. And how many of you would just admit this in the morning, that you routinely need your soul restored? Amen? If you don't continually need your soul restored, I would like to know where you work. Right? I mean, I know you think, well, if you're a pastor at the church, then obviously you live in a spiritual bubble where nothing ever negative happens to you, and you just live every single day with just spiritual helium being pumped in your balloon, and you're just floating through life, and everything is wonderful. I can just tell you, I need God to restore my soul sometimes. Amen? He restores my soul. All of us need our souls restored routinely. Life has a way of sucking the life right out of us. And the presence, if you don't believe that today, the presence of our addiction culture is evidence that people are looking all different kinds of places trying to find their soul restored. In 2017, I was looking at some stats. In 2017, a quarter of all Americans between the ages of 18 and 26 confessed that they had an addiction to some sort of substance abuse, be it drugs or alcohol. Think of that. A quarter of our nation between the ages of 18 and 26. And by the way, if you want to look at the other age demographics going up or down, they don't get a whole lot better or a whole lot worse. I'm just here to tell you, that is evidence that we live in a society who is looking for something or someone to restore their soul. And instead of finding freedom, they're finding bondage. Instead of finding liberty, they're finding themselves chained to an addiction that drags them away from God, away from happiness, away from freedom, away from abundance. But friend, God is the God who restores our soul. You can have freedom today. There's a better life for you to live than a life of bondage and addiction to this world today. See, the things that this world offers leaves you longing for more and more and empty. But the thing that God offers, now, don't get me wrong, he'll leave you longing for more and more as well. But here's the thing, he comes in and fills you with more and more until you're abundantly overflowing in the goodness of God. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that I can rejoice and have an overflow of the goodness of God today because he restores my soul. I was thinking about this morning during worship. I almost just had my own little party over here. Because I could hear you shouting and I could hear you singing during worship, but I began to press rewind over the last 6 months of this pandemic we've been living in and living through, and the Lord just began to remind me. He said, Greg, I know you hear people shouting today, but do you realize you're pastoring a church that has never lost their shout? Why? Because there's some people in the room who've discovered he restores my soul today. Amen. He restores our soul. And today, if you've lost your shout, can I tell you, he will restore your soul. See, the enemy is in the numbing business, but God is in the restoration business. The enemy is in the business of giving you a momentary relief, but God is in the business of giving you an eternal hope and future and freedom today. Amen? The enemy will lead you in a path that costs you more and more, but God will lead you in a life that gives you more and more of his abundance this morning. He can restore your soul. So I'm just telling you, don't settle for a fix. Don't settle for just getting by. Because God is in the restoration business. He restores my soul. And just to help us grab a hold how God restores us, I want to look at the life of a young man who David actually dove into to help be the restoration of God to this young man's life. His name is Mephibosheth. Say that name out loud 3 times real fast. All right? How many of you know about this fellow? Many of you? Mephibosheth, if you don't know, he's the grandson of King Saul, who was the ruling king when David went to fight Goliath. King Saul was in charge. David had a best friend who was Saul's son, whose name was Jonathan, and Jonathan had a son whose name was Mephibosheth. And when Saul's kingdom was falling, when it was being conquered, the people in the palace of Saul were terrified for their life, and so they began to run and flee the palace. And one of Saul's servants, Mephibosheth's nurse, she picked him up, and she was running from the palace. And as she was fleeing the palace, she fell down. She dropped Mephibosheth, and he became lame in both of his feet and lived the rest of his life crippled. And he's living his life. Saul is dead. Jonathan is dead. David now is king, and Mephibosheth is living his life in a place called Lodabar, which basically means nowhere or nothing, basically living at the mercy of a man named Micah. And David's now king, and here's what David says in 2 Samuel chapter 9. It says, "Now David said, is there anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness to him for Jonathan's sake? And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. And so when they called him to David, the king said, are you Ziba? And he said, I'm at your service. And the king said, is there not still anyone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God? And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet. The king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, he's in the house of Micah, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. And the king sent and brought him out of his house and brought him to himself. And when Mephibosheth, verse 6, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he fell on his face. And then David said to him, do not fear, for I will show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you. Did you notice there's that word again? Right? I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. Then he bowed and said, Mephibosheth, that is, bowed and said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I? And the king called Ziba, said to him, I've given your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to his house. You therefore and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring a harvest that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always. I don't know about you, but I read this story, I read this account, and I think if there was ever a guy who needed restoration, it was Mephibosheth. I mean, have you ever had a moment where you felt like you lost everything? I mean, this guy went from being a king's son to a nobody. He went from living in the palace to now he is living in Lodabar in the middle of nowhere as a refugee, just counting on the kindness of this guy named Micah, who's just giving him enough food to eat, just giving him a house over his head. And Mephibosheth had to believe with all his heart, my life, the best my life is going to be is existing. The worst thing that can happen to me is the present king find out where I am. And then he's going to kill me. But instead, the king found him, and what seemed impossible, restoration came to his life. He regained everything life had stolen from him. And some of you in this room, you're watching today and you're listening today online, and you're convinced that everything that life has stolen from you is impossible to regain. But I want to remind you that he restores our soul. He is a restoring, promise keeping, covenant keeping God this morning. He can restore your soul. So how does God restore us? I want to give you a few ways real quickly. Number one, stop hiding. If you want God to restore you, stop hiding from God's restoration. Verse number 9, David asked the question, is there anyone left from the house of Saul that I may show kindness to for Saul's sake? Do you know why David is having to ask the question? Because Mephibosheth is hiding. Usually when a new king comes to power, you know what they do? They go out and they slaughter all the family members of the old king. That way no one of the old kingdom can try to raise their head up and regain power. So that's the normal mode of operation. Now, David didn't do that, but that's the normal mode of most kings' operation. And so Mephibosheth is in the middle of nowhere hiding out. He thinks his best plan of action is to lay low and hope that he doesn't lose the little bit that he has left. And friends, today, if your mindset of your life is this, I'm just trying to hang on and not lose what I have left, then friends, you are blind to the fact that God has more for you. He wants to restore you. He wants to bless you. He wants to bring you up out of the gutter and put your life on top instead of life being on top of you. He is the restorer of your soul. But we can't receive this restoration while we're still hiding from God. Me and my kids, I've got a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. If you're new to our church and don't know my family, I got me and my two kids, we play hide and seek a lot. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm better at it than they are. And hide and seek in my house doesn't last very long, because if the girls are hiding, they usually hide together, and 10 seconds into their hiding, they start giggling. So I've only got 10 seconds to find them in one of the 5 places they hide. And usually within 10 seconds, they start giggling and giving their place away. Sometimes I wonder if that's what we look like when we hide from God. And I've discovered, just like my girls hide in the same 4 or 5 places, most of us hide in the same places all the time over. We hide in our addictions. We hide in bad relationships. We hide in destructive behavior. We hide in workaholicism. We hide in trying to work our way into good deeds, and instead of accepting the good deed that God's done for us, we begin to hide in ways that we know don't work. But I love the fact that when you read Mephibosheth's story, he is hiding from a God who is from a king who is searching. You know, in Genesis chapter 3, we find where the first two people that ever sinned, Adam and Eve, began. What did they do? They hid from God. God knew where he was, but they hid from him anyway. And what does God do? He begins walking with them, looking for them, calling out to them. He's looking for restoration. They're hiding. He's looking for restoration. David is looking for Mephibosheth, but he's hiding. Some of you this morning, you're wishing life would be different, but you're hiding when God is searching. Friends, why would you hide another moment from a searching God? He is searching with love. He's searching for you with passion. He's searching for you for concern this morning. Mephibosheth was in need of restoration, but instead of receiving that, he was hiding. How can I connect? That's the question today. How can I connect with God in the middle of uncertainty? You have to remember to stop hiding from him. That he wants to restore your soul. God has a track record of searching for those that are hiding from him, wanting to restore them, not destroy them. Mephibosheth thought, if the king is searching for us, he must be wanting to hurt me or harm me. I'm not convinced that when Mephibosheth heard those king's horses and chariots approach the place where he lived, he may have hidden even harder. He may have thought, man, my life is over. They're going to kill me. They're going to slay me. But the king was actually there to bless him. And some of you got to wake up this morning. God is not wanting to harm you or hurt you or keep you. He's wanting to bless you. He gave his son Jesus to die for you, that you can have life and life abundant. Why are you hiding in your sin? Why are you hiding in your selfishness? Come to the cross of Jesus. He wants to restore you today. Some of you watching, some of you in this room, I just believe God is on the edge of his seat looking, waiting for you to respond so that he can restore you. Romans chapter 5 says it like this: but God demonstrates his love for us, for while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Acts chapter 3 says, repent. Right? Stop hiding. Repent. And turn again that your sins may be blotted out. That times of refreshing. I don't think I'd be doing the Bible injustice if I put in the word so that times of restoral can come from the presence of God. That he may send Christ appointed for you, Jesus. See, David longed to be restored to Mephibosheth. Not because, so to our knowledge, David didn't even know Mephibosheth existed. So David's not looking for this lame, crippled, broke down young man, destitute young man, because he has some kind of great love for him. He's looking for this young man because he made a covenant with his dad named Jonathan. That said, for as long as I live, I'm going to take care of your family like they're my family. Well, can I tell you, God's a little bit different. He does love you. Right, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for you. But friends, not only does he love you, he is in a covenant relationship with you. And that covenant gets him every single day searching for you, trying to bring you back in a right relationship with the Father. Ephesians chapter 2 says that now in Christ Jesus, those of us who were far off have been restored. We've been brought near. I just want to ask you, beg you if I can this morning, stop hiding from the God that wants to restore you. Stop hiding. Stop making excuses. Stop trying to handle things on your own. God wants to restore you. He restores our soul. Number two, second way God restores our soul is you have to bring this expectancy to your life that God always restores more than we lose. David said to Mephibosheth, don't fear. I'm going to show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and I'm going to restore to you all the land that Saul, your grandfather, had. You know, Mephibosheth inherited everything that belonged to Saul. Now think about this. If Saul had stayed king, this probably would have happened. The estate usually doesn't go to someone who's lame and crippled, can't carry on the family work, stand in the palace. There would have been multiple siblings that Mephibosheth would have had to contend to. But now here he is. He's gained everything. He's gained more than he lost. I wonder if God could ever convince you and I that he has more for our future than what we've lost in our past. I just want to say it again. Can God ever convince you that he has more for your future than you've lost in your past? You know, the Bible talks about a man who lost a lot. His name was Job. You heard of Job's story? It's one of the more famous stories in the Word of God. Lost sons, daughters, property. Had a really bad few weeks. Grew into a long season of bad. But in Job chapter 42, verse number 10, the Bible says this: the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before. Jesus, in Luke chapter 18, Peter had concerns that he had maybe sacrificed too much for God. That maybe he is going to outgive Jesus. And Jesus said, listen, I tell you the truth, no one's left home or wife, brothers, parents, children, for the sake of the kingdom will fail to remember or receive many times more in this age and in the age to come, eternal life. I'm just telling you, you never lose by coming to Jesus. Doesn't mean it won't ever cost you in the moment, but you'll never lose. And here's the thing, God doesn't just restore things. God doesn't just restore relationships. And we can see in Job's life that God is more than able to restore things and restore relationships. But do you know that God can actually restore time? You know, there's been some certain economic theories out there that says if someone wants to demand money from you or time from you, you should give them your money. Because you can make more money, but you can't make more time. Right? Time's been said to be the most valuable commodity. Once you have it, it's gone. Once you lose it, it's gone forever. But you know what? God is so powerful that in Joel chapter 2, the Lord says this, I will restore to you the years. Amen? I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust. That God says, I will restore the years. I wonder if there's some person in this room today that you feel like you have wasted years of your life. Can I tell you, we serve a God who can give you the years of your life back if you'll give your life to Him. He's a restoring God, and nothing is off limits to Him. Nothing's off limits to Him. He can restore to you. It can be heartbreaking when you realize years I wasted, seasons I wasted, but God can restore the years. He can give you back more than you've ever lost. This morning, friends, I don't know why any of us would sit on the sideline of another day trying to handle life ourselves when God is saying, come to me. David said earlier, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and you will find rest for your souls. God can restore what's been broken in your life this morning. He can even restore, here's number three, he can even restore your identity. When David found out for a dead dog, you thought you had self-image issues. All right? Did you anybody woke up this morning, look in the mirror and say, you are just a dead dog? I mean, I got upset by the way my hair looked, but I didn't say that. Right? David said, or Mephibosheth said to David, I am just a dead dog. It's amazing how we can allow our losses to become what we identify with most. And I've discovered that it's not just Mephibosheth that does this. A lot of us do that. As a matter of fact, in the Word of God, it's sort of intriguing. If you go through the New Testament, how many people's names we don't know? And usually the people's names that you don't know are people who are identified with their problem rather than what God did for them. Like, how come we refer to the lady with the issue of blood as the lady with the issue of blood and still the lady who was healed by Jesus? We identify with our struggles. How come the rich young ruler is known by rejecting Jesus only? We don't even know his name. We got some guesses. There was 10 lepers that were healed, but we still call them lepers. The centurion had a servant healed, but we don't know. We just identify people with their issue, and sometimes we just identify ourselves with our issue. We walk around thinking, I am my issue. Can I tell you, God can restore you. You're more than your job. You're more than your past. You're more than what happened to you. You're more than what someone did to you. You're more than what you've been through. As a matter of fact, you're a child of the King. You're the apple of his eye. You're a chosen generation. You're beloved by the Father, and he has a plan for you. He can restore your soul today. Don't spend another moment like Mephibosheth just saying, I am a dead dog. I like what Jesus or what the, I'm sorry, what the angel said about Elizabeth when he was speaking to Mary. He said, your cousin Elizabeth is now with child, and the one who was once called barren will give birth. I'm just here to tell you, God can redefine your life this morning. He can restore what is broken. He can restore your identify, what you identify with. Don't you spend another second, friend of mine, identifying with what used to be, and identify with what Jesus says you are. The other day I was... I've been having this issue. I'm not sure what the problem is, but I just can't see as good as I used to. Don't you love technology? If the words get too small, you just... I don't have any eye problems. You just... Nothing to see here. I mean, I just, you know, just no issue at all. But I was in Home Depot the other day, and I was trying to buy this particular tube of caulk, and I got ready to read the label in the back, and they have super shrank the text. Yeah. Y'all notice that? So I mean, it didn't matter how. I went over to the rack. You know, who needs an eye doctor? Go to Home Depot; they got a whole rack of glasses. So I just went over there and found me something that let me read it, and for $4, boom. But later on, I tried on someone else's glasses. It didn't work so good. I put on their glasses. Everything was fuzzy. As a matter of fact, I started getting dizzy just for like 3 seconds of wearing that person's glasses. Some of you are the same way. You've been looking at your life through someone else's lenses instead of God's lenses. You've been looking at your life how you see you and how other people see you instead of how God sees you. Friends, God says you're valuable to Him, and He can restore what's been lost. He can restore your past. He can give you a future that's better than you've ever seen before. John chapter 15 says, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant doesn't know what the master does. But from here on, I call you friends, for I have heard what my Father said, and I've made it known to you. Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says that we are God's handiwork, right? Prepared in advance to do good works for Him. Ephesians chapter 2, 19 says, you are therefore no longer strangers, no longer foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. 2 Corinthians says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has hit the road, and the new is here to stay. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, praise be to God and our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He's given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Friends, if you're going to find your identity somewhere, don't find it in your past. Don't find it in your mistakes. Don't find it in your ability. Don't find it in your job. Don't find it in what you own. Don't find it in what you desire. Find it in who Jesus is, because that's eternal, and that's the identity that will see you through any storm of life. Fourth, this morning, allow God. How does God restore us? Allow God to cover your injuries. I wish, if I was writing the Bible, right? How many know we can't change it? It's against the rules. But if I was writing it, I would have went ahead and healed Mephibosheth. I would have healed his legs. Now, I'm not God, and God knows a lot. God knows what He's doing. But it sounds like a good idea to me. But I just want you to notice, Mephibosheth's legs didn't get better. Right? He lived the rest of his life with that part of his life broken. But I also want you to know that his weakness didn't keep God from restoring him. His weakness didn't disqualify him from receiving a blessing from God. Isaiah chapter 54 says this, fear not, for you will not be ashamed. Be not confounded, for you will not be disgraced. Listen to this. For you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more. Can you just imagine with me for a moment, friends, that the shame of your youth is remembered no more, because God has healed you. He's delivered you. He's restored you. You may still have weak legs and broken feet, but the shame and the pain of your past is gone, because even with broke feet, I'm healed by the blood of Jesus Christ. David said, you're going to eat all the days of your life at my table. Now, I don't really know what kind of table David had. In my mind, I think of the Knights of the Round Table, right? Huge oak thing, thrones. May not have been that way. It may have been more like the table that Jesus sat at with his disciples, where they were all just kind of laying back on pillows and a low table, only about this house. I'm not sure what the king's table looked like. But here's what I know. At the table, it doesn't matter if your feet are lame. You're still face to face and eye to eye with the king. You're still sitting beside the fiercest warriors of the kingdom. You're on the same level as the rulers and the magistrates and those in authority. When you're at the king's table, your injuries are forgotten. It's just your presence that's known. This morning, friends, God is ready to elevate you. He's ready to bring you into the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords' presence this morning. And your weakness does not disqualify you from sitting with him, enjoying him, receiving from him this morning. He restores us in the king's table. Table this morning. Mephibosheth always remembered, I'll just bring this up, he always remembered this, that without the king, I'm just a beggar. But with the king, I'm a king's son. Amen. There was a time, this is kind of a bonus session for you, but hit fast forward. On Mephibosheth's life, there's a time that came up where David has to flee the castle, flee the kingdom, because Absalom, his son, is trying to kill him. And he goes out weeks, months, displaced. Finally, Absalom is killed. David comes back in, and he finds Mephibosheth unbathed. Unkept, dirty, filthy. His sores haven't been bandaged. And David said, what's the deal? Mephibosheth, I wanted to go with you, David. But Ziba, he conned me. I told him to get my horses ready, and he left without me. So since you've been gone, I've allowed no comfort to my life, because I wanted you to know that I am devoted to you. You know what happens when God restores us? It births in us a devotion to him like never before. Amen. Doesn't mean you live perfect, but there's a devotion that comes. Some of you this morning, God's wanting to restore you, and you're terrified. Well, Pastor, I just don't think I can ever be as devoted or as committed as someone else. Friends, you will be amazed what God does in you as he restores you this morning. He's going to enable you to be more faithful, more committed. He's going to enable you to be more attached to his things and his kingdom than you ever thought possible. Some of you have glamorized people and thought, there's no way I could ever be as spiritual as them. Can I tell you something? Number one, whoever that person is, they're probably not as spiritual as you think they are. There you go. But number two, when you allow God to really restore you, there's no limit to the work and the change he can make in you. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. Megan's going to come to the keyboard. We're going to have a moment of prayer today. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And he restores my soul. God wants to restore you today. Whether that restoration is a refreshing from the stress and the weight that your week has brought to you, Whether that restoration is you need a restore of a life that you've lost because of, maybe you know, I've lost it because of my own sin. I've lost it because of my own mistakes. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter how you lost, what you've lost. God can restore you today. Restoration is needed by all of us. And I want to pray three specific ways. I'm just going to ask you to respond in the way that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning. Number one, you say, Pastor, I need a restored relationship with God. You know you're not a Christ follower today. You're not a Jesus follower. You're not putting Him first in your life. I'm not asking, did you say a prayer once upon a time? I'm asking you, are you following Jesus today? If not, then you need a restored relationship with Him. And you know that's you today. You say, Pastor, I need to start following Jesus today, fresh and new. Maybe that life's been dormant, but say, Pastor, I need a restored relationship with God. Would you just lift your hand real quick? Say, it's me, Pastor. Pray for me. Amen. Amen. Who else today? May you put your hands down now. Who else? Secondly, this morning, say, Pastor, I need my joy restored. You know, the psalmist said in chapter 51, restore to me the joy of my salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Some of you this morning, you need that sustaining presence of God. Life has sucked the joy out of you. Life has drained you. It's depleted you spiritually. I'm thankful the psalmist says He restores my soul. Moment by moment, if necessary, I'm convinced He restores us. And I say, Pastor, I'm empty, but I need God to restore me. Would you just lift your hand real quick? I love God. I'm saved, in love with Jesus. Amen. But I need Him to restore me today. Amen. A lot of us. A lot of us. And third, this morning, this isn't going to be a big group of people. But whether in the room or watching online, there's some of you. You say, Pastor, I have wasted years of my life. I've wasted years of my life doing my own thing. But God can restore. He can restore your years to you this morning. He can take what you thought was ashes and bring beauty out of it. You say, Pastor, I've wasted years of my life, but I'm trusting God to restore today. Restore the years. It may be years of relational damage. It may be years of disappointment. It may be years of just sowing to the wrong things. But you say, Pastor, I need that. I need restoration of years I've wasted. Would you just lift your hand real quick? That's me, Pastor. Amen. 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 Let's stand together today, all across this room. And before I pray a single word over anybody, I think all of us just need to lift our hearts and our hands to the Lord and say, Lord, begin to restore me right now. Begin to pour in Your Spirit fresh and new. Begin to pour Your love into my life like never before. Some of you are lifting up to receive, but some of you are lifting up to surrender. Some of you are right now, just begin to surrender those hiding places. Begin to surrender those things you've hung on to as a substitute for God and a substitute for trusting God. Come on, let's just give it to Him in a moment of worship and confession and surrender today. Father, we love You today. We love You, Lord. We surrender it all to You. We give it all to You, Lord. We give it all to You, Lord, fresh and new. Restore our souls this morning. Restore us today. Restore us today. Restore us today. Restore us today. Several lifted their hands this morning and said, I'm not right with God. I'm not following Jesus. Can I tell you the good news is in John's gospel, in 1 John, he says that if we will confess our sins, that He is faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from everything that's not right. So today, if you're not a Christ follower, if you haven't been actively following Jesus, I'm going to ask the whole congregation, even those watching at home, to say this prayer out loud with us. And I've said this dozens of times. repeating a prayer never changed anybody, but saying a prayer from your heart will change everybody if you say it from your heart this morning. So we're going to say this prayer out loud. If you're not following Jesus, this can begin your steps of following him. So let's pray this together this morning. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for pursuing me, searching for me, coming after me, even when I was hiding. Lord, I confess this morning, I'm broken, I'm wounded, I'm sinful, I need you. Forgive me, heal me, change my life. From this moment forward, I'm going to follow you. Lead me, Jesus. I'm going to follow you. You are my leader. You're my Savior. I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap with those who are saying that for the very first time. We love you, Lord. If you said that prayer, you wonder, what now? First thing, if you'll stop at the Connect Center on your way out, we're going to give you a book. It's your first 30 days of following Jesus. Secondly, find a church family. I'm really, really biased, but I think it ought to be the Assembly. And thirdly, follow the Lord in water baptism. God will change your life. He'll restore to you what you thought was impossible. Two other groups of people lifted their hands and said, well, I need my joy back, and I need my years back. If that's you today, if you didn't lift your hands, but you want to be included in that prayer, why don't you lift your hands right now? I'm going to pray new joy and years granted back. Lord, I pray for restoration work from the front to the back of this room this morning. I pray restoration work in the heart of every person. God, I pray that people are going to walk out of this room that never smile with a smile on their face. They're not going to be able to, their spouse is going to ask them, what you smile about all the time? Because you're restoring the joy of their salvation fresh and new this morning. Lord, the scripture's going to come alive like never before. They're going to have hope where they didn't have hope before. They're going to have joy where they didn't have joy before because you're pouring in fresh oil, fresh wine, fresh joy of the Spirit, fresh fruit of the Spirit right now. Do it. Do it right now, Lord. And for those that just feel like they've wasted years of their life, Lord, we know that their ladder can be greater. We know that the song that they sing can be that the best is yet to come. Because greater, because faithful is the one that began a good work in them. He's going to finish it. He's going to see it all the way through completion this morning. So we just pray that work. Lord, give them the years back. Let these next season, let these next years be so full of abundance that the shame of yesterday is gone. And even the little bit of weakness that remains, we don't even feel it because we're at the King's table for sons and daughters of the King. So help us live life restored. You restore our souls. And I'm so thankful, Lord. So thankful, Lord. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap to the God who restores our souls. Hallelujah.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.